Okay, so I ducked around a corner. I am recording into my phone. I really didn't like the last episode. I really have a hard time finishing my thoughts, so when I finally listen back, the audio is kind of terrible. I'm going to try to talk a little bit louder because I can barely hear myself, and I'm going to try not to fidget with the phone as much. Who cares, right? Yada, yada, yada. My wife hated that last episode and said that what is true is that I absolutely don't finish my thoughts, and I find myself kind of starting a thought and then not really bringing it home, which is suboptimal. But I'm at work, and I'm not going to be done with work till the game starts, and a whole bunch of stuff is taking place. I mean, really, like Bucks season 9. Woo! What a season, right? They pull out all the stops for this season. Like I really didn't think they could top the episode where everybody died at the wedding, or when the guy got shot in the stairwell, or when, you know, the person you thought was close to you ended up being like an agent for the Russians. But man, dog, Bucks episode. Like, Bucks season 9 is do we think it's starting to border on being like improbable and unrealistic? Like, this is, I really actually don't believe, because how could this season, like, how could they hurt us again, right? They couldn't hurt us again the same kind of way with us just being frauds. This is like, you know what this is actually like? This is like a million years ago, there was like this milk commercial where it was like, where the guy got all the cookies and the cookies was great. And then he wanted to get some milk, and all the milk would like, was just empty bottles of milk. And he's like, yo, where am I at? Everyone's hurt. Like, so to start from the beginning, because everyone knows all this, but I just don't think it has really resonated for people how much of frauds the Bucks are at basketball, and how, like the most ridiculous thing, and obviously, like, this is shade. What I'm about to say is shade. People, Dan Schaefer tweeted at me like a couple of days ago, and was like, don't you get used to being wrong? And, you know, kind of had some fun with that. And I'm like, well, when, but I guess what I would say to that is, at least I didn't go on Bill Simmons and say that the Bucks were going to beat the Nets because Drew Holiday is so good. The fully armed and operational battle station that was the New Jersey Nets with Kyrie, Harden, and Durant. At least I didn't like go on Bill Simmons and fix my mouth to say, well, the Bucks have Drew Holiday, so we're going to stop the Nets. So I didn't say that. And so more than any other Bucks season, this has just been the Lucy pulls the football of, like, I really wanted the Sixers, because at least I feel like the Sixers, and I said this many episodes ago before we ended up on the Nets side of the bracket, that at least, okay, yo, the Sixers is a fair fight. We hate them. We hate everything they stand for. And Embiid and all of that. And Bill Simmons is a baby. Ben Simmons is a baby and all this kind of stuff. Let's at least beat the Sixers, and that'll be our championship. And then I knew what it would mean that the Sixers lost, and I was happy that the Sixers lost, but a large part of me, and that's the thing too, this small part of me is becoming larger and larger about this kind of stuff, where it's like, well, yeah, but I wanted to beat all these teams on the way. I didn't want Trae Young. Like, who wants to beat Trae Young? Trae Young's a joke. But Trae Young's not a joke, because we suck and we don't show up for these games. And it's just at a certain point, so game one happens, but then everyone knew Trae Young's not going to play game 4. And I sent out the poll, and everybody got it. It's like, oh, we're not going to take this game seriously, are we? And we didn't take this game seriously. It's not championship-level effort. It wasn't championship-level execution. There was a billion turnovers by Drew. I might actually hate Drew Turnover. Let's just start calling him Drew Turnover. I might hate Drew Turnovers more than Chris Middleton, more than Chris Turnovers at this point. And so, how can I actually root for this team to win a championship? I hate this team. Like, I love this team, but I hate this team. I love you, but I hate you. But I hate you, but I love you. But I love you, but I hate you. I hate this team so much. And yet here we are. And now you're going to ask me to like root for a team without Giannis? Now I just got to root for Chris and Drew? That is a tall order. And so Giannis goes down, right? And Giannis goes down, and literally my head is in my hands. Like from the, like I saw the whole thing. I saw it hyperextend in real time, like before the replay, and I'm trying to like trick myself into thinking that's somebody else on the ground. I saw it. I knew who it was. I knew what it was. I was ready for this. This is the collapse. And I felt something, right? I felt something in that moment. And I was like, wow, this is an epic gut punch. Then now we're going to lose to the Hawks. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not watching basketball for like a whole nother year and a half, right? And now he might play. He probably won't. This is Wednesday's. No, what's today? Yeah, today's Thursday. This is recorded on the eve of Game 5. He's not going to play tonight. And the feelings I have at this point, man, it's complicated feelings. And I think if anybody's being honest, they should just have complicated feelings about this. First of all, in no particular order, I think the safety concerns are quite real, right? The safety concerns are quite real. More than most players, you cannot trust Giannis at all for what his body is telling him. His body is telling him to win and fight and kill and terminate and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, if you were, I don't even want to say this, but like, look, the leadership level on the team, he's a big part of that too. Chris is a big part of that. Obviously, the idiot Budenholzer is a big part of this. Maybe, I think my little brother said this. It's like, well, then you should have taken care of business in games one and game four, and we wouldn't be talking about this. And he had you out here like jumping around and getting hurt. Well, I might like victim blaming him for getting hurt, but the whole play with your food thing, right? The whole play with your food. They're not actually our food, by the way. Like, no one thinks the Atlanta Hawks are any good with or without Trae Young. And yet, some kind of way, here we are in a pitched battle with the Atlanta Hawks, right? And it's just... So I had to ask myself this question, and am I a Bucks fan or am I a basketball fan? And on some level, I just I'm a basketball fan more than I'm a Bucks fan at this point. Obviously, I want the Bucks to win tonight. I hope they have a legendary game five, right? But this is not the kind of team that wins. And frankly, like the Suns were going to be, I've been saying this for 3 weeks, the Suns were going to beat us in six no matter what, because Giannis was going to run into Ayton, and Ayton was going to be 80% of Giannis, and it was just going to be a wrap. Like it just was, right? Like at this point, I'm not even sure Giannis is functionally, based on like the looks that they get and all this kind of stuff, like better than Ayton. He's better for us, and it's a great story and all this kind of stuff. But like, I'm just so frustrated with how he just never actually got better at basketball. Like we're talking about basketball. He just never, like these little baby steps that people are talking about, which is interesting that people, I mean, this like ties into the Chris conversation and the Drew conversation and all these other things. It's like, well, it's interesting that people are willing, people like get it with Drew. They're like, oh, we should, man, can we unload Drew Holiday after 5 months or whatever else? I thought he got 8 years by the logic of Bucks Twitter. We should give like Drew another 8 years to figure this out, right? To see if he gets slightly better every year. Isn't that how this works? I thought that was what was going on, right? But apparently not. Apparently everybody did a snap judgment, which I agree with, which we were saying, which is like Drew Holiday isn't that good. Chris Middleton isn't that good. But Lemon Pepper Lou and like these Atlanta boys are smoking us for no good reason right now. And it's just a very comfortable feeling of being just so disappointed, and not disappointed in the play. Cause let's keep it real. I mean, like it's not about the shots. It's not about the misses. I'm disappointed with the execution. I'm disappointed with the effort level. Right. And I just don't want to frankly live in a world where you can have, where a team can have this kind of effort level in games 1 and 4 of the Hawks series and games 1 and 2 of the Nets series, and somehow, like, narrative-wise, end up raising the trophy at the end. So I'm still rooting for the Bucks, but, like, we know how this wins. Like, I could have been rooting against the Bucks for 30 years, and it would have ended up the exact same way. Like, the Bucks are losers. And so another thing. The other thing is, now we're in this position where we're actually... Like, I don't think Giannis should really risk anything, and frankly, I don't want injured Giannis on the court, like, anyway? Like, I just, like, what good is that? Right? What good is that? But this is probably his only chance to win a title as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's what it is. Right? He's still 26 or however old he is. He's still young. An unprecedented opening of the seas. The seas have parted for all these things to go right. This is his shot. We're not coming out of the Nets anytime soon. And a lot of these kind of mini Mick dynasties that kind of pop up and like immediately are thrown together, then they collapse and everything like that. But like, there's usually a 3-year run. Like, the Nets will be in the finals next year. That's how this typically goes. And so then you make Chris and all those guys 2 years older. Man, I hope we trade him. Man, I hope we trade this dude. But, oh, and I'm assuming people want me to talk about game 3. Great game. What we always said he needed to do. Great game. He did it in blue. That's perfect for this guy. But, like, again, if he takes 12 threes, he took a bunch of heat check shots, and that's what we want him to do. That's what we want him to do, is just keep shooting threes and not worry about it and let other people do other stuff. This is not rocket science. Go ahead and take 12 threes, Chris Middleton. Go ahead and take 25 shots. Like, and because you should know your hot zones, that should only be like 3 or 4 different spots on the court. And you can go to the fadeaway 3 times a game, and everything else should be threes. And you should take teardrops when they overplay on the pick and roll. Like, how hard is that? But 8 years, like, he still hasn't learned this part. So, like, again, he got hot, so he kept shooting, and he made another one. If he'd have missed the second shot in that run, he would have stopped shooting. And that's, like, a big problem. But give him flowers. That was an actual legendary game. So people want to hear me call that a legendary game. That was an actual legendary game with Kevin Huerter guarding him against the Hawks. But give him his flowers, and then he fell right back down to earth because that's who he is. And I will also mention that, again, so who are the other people dropping legendary games in the playoffs? This is shade. I'm just going to tell you this is shade. Campaign had like champagne with my campaign had like 24 points in the first half or something, some other game. Like, they were all like dynamic runners and twos and stuff like that. The dude for the Clippers, not even Reggie Jackson, that other guy for the Clippers had like 38 points. Like, this is the variance of modern basketball. He needs to get on the variance train. But instead, like, Mike Budenholzer took him to Cheesecake Factory and got him strawberry lemonade and popcorn shrimp. Chris Middleton took all his ends. And then some kind of way, like a couple months later, Chris torpedoed everything by having, they had this come together agreement that he wasn't actually going to let it fly. And Chris Middleton deciding not to let it fly is a big reason we don't have a ring already. And we're not going to get one this year. But the thing, so probably got to get back to work. The other thing that I kind of want to say, like, I think a lot of people are just really wrong about this. Your perception of reality is what it is. I'm just going to tell my perception of reality. I'm going to choose my words carefully here, not to be too offensive to people. Taylor Rooks did a segment. Everybody lost their minds. I just don't think people properly understand what it means to actually wear the crown in the NBA. Right? And so they deleted the thing. Taylor Rooks made a segment being like, how do you spell Antetokounmpo? Much yucks were had. It was a pretty whack segment just as far as being clever or anything like that. But hey, Taylor Rooks was involved, so at least there's that. Right? And like, I was just called, like, Adam had a problem with it. A lot of people had a problem with it. I shout out to your life experiences, but like, another podcast related adjacent to that did a segment where individual kind of made it all about him. Look, guys, there's a reason Giannis is never going to actually wear the crown. And I'm a little bit annoyed by people like who don't have the life experience or don't especially know what they're talking about are kind of making it like a Black Africans thing. I'm like, there's a lot of factors here, but I'm just going to tell you what I think. Right. And you can get mad about this or not. I don't know anybody. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people from a lot of different places. I know a lot of hoopers who hooped on a really high level. I hooped at a really high level. I don't know anybody who played ball who's in love with Giannis game. all the different back chats, all my Detroit people, all the different people. Nobody loves Giannis's game who played basketball. He doesn't have a game that you can really love. Like, Giannis' game, I'm sorry to say this, is kind of for casuals. Now, his story is Teflon. His story is Disney Teflon, and the way he says a lot of the right things a lot of time, that's all kind of great. He's a great quote quite a bit of the time. Most of the time, he actually comports himself really well on the court. Him and his brother do kind of fly into Hulk rages from time to time. There was kind of the whole World Championships thing. So it's not perfect. But if you love Giannis' game, it's because you're box score watching or you're a casual. His game drives me nuts. His game drives me nuts. To see a guy like... You have to imagine, like, Giannis, like, you have to understand the scale of these kind of things. Like, Giannis is, like, it's like you shooting at a 9-foot rim. Everybody, like, probably had an adjustable hoop at some point in their life and knew what it was like to, like, shoot with it lowered. That's what it's like, man. Like, those hook shots are so easy. For him to get, like, his processor scrambled when he has an open 6-foot hoop against Brook Lopez at 6'6 or 6'7, whatever Brook Lopez is, or, you know, these short defenders for the Hawks. When Capella isn't in and all this, like, it's a joke. It's the most embarrassing thing in the world. So I want you right now to make your hand like an L shape, and then close it like a bird's mouth. That's how he's shooting these hooks. He's like clapping. He's clapping the ball. The ball is not rolling off of his hand at all. It's the most maddening thing in the world that a guy this tall and a guy this limber and a guy who's quite creative with both hands can't unlock actual dominance by shooting a hook. He's going to a fadeaway. Like, he's fading away from people who are 6'6 in front of him. When he's got a step, he's fading to the dotted line. It's like, dude, throw the hook. And so we could go into a whole thing. And again, like I said, I'm at work. We could go into a whole thing about how big-handed people have to shoot. And I would just say the short version of that is, amongst the people with the biggest hands in NBA history, it was Dr. J, Jordan, and Kawhi. Dr. J was before my time. I seem to kind of remember that Dr. J had a little bit more arc to his shot. Like, the ball came off his hand and seemed to kind of go in a kind of more of a parabolic arc. Just think about how Jordan and Kawhi shoot. You hold the ball, you grip it. Think about how Middleton shoots. I mean, that's the same kind of thing. Like, so... there's a couple of just unacceptable, like, changes were done to the motion, and everybody wants to talk about the changes done to his motion, but nobody actually wants to talk about, first of all, I was the first one to say that, but secondly, like, nobody wants to talk about what he actually should be doing, which is looking at the heel of the rim and firing. Fire. It drives me nuts. Like, he's shooting free throws, but when he shoots jumpers too, and he's thinking about his legs, you could tell, well, he wants to get this one toe down and he wants to lift with his legs and do all this kind of stuff. And it's too many parts. Like, it's too many steps. He needs to just flick it. Like, people with big hands, like the ball in his hand is like an orange. So he needs to hold it and spin it. And dog, these air balls. So again, I know I'm saying a lot of different things, kind of competing things. Here's the thing. There's a couple of things. First of all, everybody wanted to go nuts about the free throws. Him missing free throws, frankly, is great television. Like, the Atlanta crowd counting it down and these different crowds counting it down is the most compelling thing about his game when he's not dunking. Like, that's actually great TV, right? But everybody, oh, it's so unfair. People want to focus on this. But actually, isn't he averaging 34, 12? It's like, look, no. Nobody cares about that. He's got all the physical gifts in the world, and he's got this mental deficiency that's compelling television. So, of course, they're focusing on that. Now, the name thing, okay, if you want to get offended, all I would say with the name thing is maybe people could not just make it about them. Like, I feel like a lot of people wanted to go viral by making that whole thing about him, about themselves. It was, okay, why don't you let him complain about that first, I would say. Because the league is actually trying, like, these entities, like, whether it's ham-handed or not, these entities are trying to market him for mass consumption. Like, this is now the finals and the conference finals. Like, this is for the casuals. They need to find an angle with this guy. And there are a few angles. It's just so frustrating that he's not actually also great at basketball. And yes, he just got hurt and he's going to try to come back. But if he tries to come back and he's 70%, it's not going to be enough anyway, Right. And so this is kind of the conundrum that we find ourselves in, where like, I don't want to give up on the season, but I just like, I'm not really ready to be hurt again. And maybe you guys feel differently, but it's just a sublime conundrum that we've found ourselves in. And I just like this hurts in a totally different way than all the other hurts. And it's amazing that they found another way to hurt us, that we would have this path cleared for us and we still wouldn't show up. And we just kind of, you know, Chris and Drew showed up and punched a clock and, doesn't look like we have it today. Oh, you know, like, Herder's on fire. Lou Williams is on fire. I guess we're going to lose this one. I don't know. And we're getting what we deserve. Now, maybe like we win games 5 and 6 and that adds a whole different other question. There is kind of an idea that maybe you won a game 7 because it gives him more time to heal. But like, obviously maybe he just won't play the rest of the season regardless. Maybe we go 7 against the Hawks, 7 against the Suns and he's still not ready. And that's something that you have to consider. But none of this stuff, like these are all unknowns, right? But I want to double back to something I said before, because again, I'm talking about the cultural thing and we're talking about the Giannis Q rating thing and we're talking about actual basketball. I'm just telling you. And then a lot of people also, I think, wanted to virtue signal about which stars didn't tweet out to be like, oh man, Giannis, you know, prayers up and didn't do all that. I'm just telling you guys. And I despise James Harden. He's an incredibly technically skilled virtuoso at playing basketball. And when he said, I wish I could just run and jump, he was echoing something that everyone else believes. And you better believe that LeBron believes that, everyone believes that, because it's sort of, it's bombastic, but it's mostly true. It's mostly true. And so it's not, I'm just keeping it real. Like it's not the African Greek descent. Like you'd have to be like a psychopath to think that's why people don't like Giannis. People don't like his game. And he's kind of a baby on the court sometimes, and he knocks people over and dunks on them. And so your mileage may vary on how much you care about that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you that Harden was speaking for the streets with that one. And I feel like a lot of people probably just kind of don't understand that. But again, you'd get it if it was Trae Young, right? Because people don't really respect his game either. Like his game as of 6 months ago. And now all of a sudden, I think we just all have to appreciate his panache and his showmanship with his embarrassing haircut and everything, but it's like he's made himself into an incredible villain and at least like isn't shrinking from the moment. So like that's also something that at least like TV networks can get behind a little bit. But no, nah, man, I'm sorry, it's not racism. Are there racists out there? Yeah, I guess. Are you calling Harden racist? Is that what we're doing? People don't respect his game. Like Kyrie doesn't respect his game. People don't, like, everybody understands, right? What do you think it meant when Durant was like, don't compare him to me, in a private moment? Like, that's what it means. Like, we can disagree on around the margins on that, but that is actually what people are saying. People aren't saying, I'm Black American, so I hate you because you're a Greek of African. Like, no one's saying that. That's not what's being said. So maybe like chill out on all that other stuff, or you can disagree. But that is kind of the thing. And so prediction wise, I just think we're gonna win game 5 and we're going to lose game 6 because that would hurt the most. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to win game 5. I'd say we'll lose game 6 and we'll come to game 7. And either we find a way to win because it'll hurt more against the Suns or whatever else. But I want people to go ahead and believe, but like we're not as good as the Suns. And there was this weird feeling kind of going into, that's why I put up that poll too. Where I just kind of want this to be over, because I just don't, like, it just feels like this is somehow going to get worse. And short of there being like an earthquake that like swallows up Fiserv like in a sinkhole, I don't know what's going to happen next to make this worse, but I guarantee you something else is going to happen that's going to be worse. And I'm scared of that mess. Have a good day. Go Bucks.